Happy Friday, Tappers. It is another edition of the Daily Tap coming to you live from Milwaukee. It is May 18th. Hope you guys are doing well. Happy graduation weekend to the young Tappers, to the old Tappers who have children graduating, to the ones that have to sit through graduation, whether brother or sister. Graduation kind of is the worst. Like, obviously, we're happy for everyone who graduates college, but graduation ceremonies are a fucking bore. Like, they take forever. You have to dress nice. Some places, it's better than others. Like, my sister graduated from Minnesota, and they did it at the hockey arena. And so, it was great because it was actually kind of cold in there. It wasn't necessarily, like, just a steam box. Where I graduated, Eau Claire, Zorn Arena is just a sweatshop. Like, it, especially if it's hot. Like, I don't know what the weather's like tomorrow up in the Eccles, but it is hot as fuck. It, as one quote from Ichiro said, it is like two squirrels fucking in a tube sock. And that's just like, yeah, it's bad, man. And so, yes, so T's and P's to those who are sitting in the stands. Hopefully you don't work out too much of a lather and you find a nice spot for graduation ceremonies. But we are not here to talk about graduation. We're here to talk about Wisconsin sports. We're going to do a little bit about Giannis and Budenholzer based on his comments. Talk a little bit about the potential trades of NL Central rivals and should the Brewers drive up the cost. And then look at the Milwaukee-Minnesota non-rivalry between the sports that aren't football. All right, before we do that, you can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You guys know that. Facebook's been popping off. Instagram's been popping off. We got to get something up to the IG soon. I have a devilish little post for IG that I don't know when it's coming out. I've teased it a little bit. Maybe it'll come out graduation Saturday. I know that is quite a day for all involved parties. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or Stitcher, whatever you prefer, whatever your Jimmy Jam is. We will be happy to have it. All right, so the Bucks obviously made the Mike Budenholzer hire official, which was great. I don't think anyone thought it wouldn't be official. And the Bucks right now at the NBA Combine is going on, and they kind of have made it a big deal. Like, it has sort of become this, you know, big thing now that people are talking about the fact that this is a sort of the thing now with sports. And so Giannis basically was at the event because he was watching his brother Kostas, who is going out for the NBA. He declared after a year at Dayton, he's very raw. It seems like he will be a bona fide second-round pick because of the last name and pretty much all the last name. I don't want to shit on him too much, but I'm not very high on him. I don't think the Bucks should draft him. He is a project among a project, and the Bucks have not really... They draft guys who are ready to play in round two. But that's another story for another podcast. But really what it was his comments about Mike Budenholzer basically giving the seal of approval that Giannis said this to Matt Velasquez. It's exciting. I like to get the chance to talk with him again before I start working out. I'd love to work out in his plan. I want to see our plays. I want to see the game plan. I want to make myself better through the game. Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. I can't wait to play for him. I hope we win some games. I love this. I mean, obviously, Giannis is sort of the golden child when it comes to hard work and it comes to being just fired up. But it seems like Giannis is genuinely excited for the Budenholzer hire and the fact that Giannis basically said that, yeah, it's exciting, and I think he's happy that the Bucks involved him at some point. He said he wanted to be involved, and I think the Bucks did just enough, right? I don't think it was one of those things where it was a sort of like, hey, last second, like, get yourself involved, or they were giving him a spreadsheet of all these different coaches and being like, Giannis, who would you prefer to be your coach? it was basically at the end of it, they said, okay, we've made our decision, and we just want to make sure that before we announce it, that you're okay with it, that you like him. Yeah, you obviously know who he is. And they did it, and it was great. And I think that was the best way to do about it. And so all of those who are worried that Bucks management may screw it up after a dysfunctional GM search, which gives me even more proof. We'll get back to that. But I was about to go on a tangent, and I'll go on that tangent in a second. But kudos to the Bucks GM. Kudos to the Bucks front office, who basically had a very well-thought-out plan, and it ran like a well-oiled machine through 2 weeks. And it's more proof that Justin Zanuck did get the job for the Bucks, and then he wanted to fire Jason Kidd, and they pulled the trigger on it. I am convinced that is what happened. You will not tell me differently. I've baked out that conspiracy since the winter, and I think that really is what happened, because it makes no sense that John Horst just was this clusterfuck after comparing what just happened with the coaching search. Coaching search goes fine, and then this, you know, the GM search was an absolute disaster, a nightmare. I'm guessing we'll get a Budenholzer press conference probably next week once the NBA Combine is over, and he'll get his first chance to talk with the Milwaukee media. I'm sure that'll happen Monday or Tuesday of next week, and obviously we'll talk about anything that he mentions, good, bad, ugly. I think everything should be good. He's bringing most of his assistants from the Hawks, and some people would be like, whoop-de-doo, Basil, but they have this thing called Hawks University. Ben Sullivan's a renowned shooting coach. Darvin Ham is one of the best young coaches in basketball. He's probably going to get a head coaching job within the next 3 years. He apparently, according to Gary Wolfel, said that he would love to coach the Milwaukee Bucks. So who knows? Maybe it's a coach in waiting sort of thing. And Darvin Ham is a long-term assistant for Budenholzer, knowing that he's going to get the head job here with Milwaukee whenever Budenholzer decides he's done. Now, granted, Budenholzer has some time left. It's not like he's immediately going to be retiring or something dumb like that. Moving on to the National League Central. So the Pittsburgh Pirates somehow are leading the NL Central. They're a half game up on the Brewers right now after their win last night against the San Diego Padres. They keep winning games. I swear they've played one of the easier schedules to start the season. At some point, the day of reckoning is going to come for the Pirates, and they're going to make a fall to the middle of the pack. Maybe not, though. I mean, we've seen this before. I think like 3 years ago, I was like, oh, the Pirates, they're going to suck at some point, and then I think they made the playoffs. So who knows? It's kind of crazy what they're doing without Andrew McCutchen or Gerrit Cole. Probably one of the better stories in baseball thus far. And then the Cardinals are 2 games back. I believe the Cubs maybe 2.5, maybe 3. They got rained out again last night. Thank you for that. Not like I had a lot of Braves and stacks for DraftKings. Nope, not that didn't happen at all. Anyways, I digress. But what I've seen is that John Heyman has floated out both Josh Donaldson to the St. Louis Cardinals and Manny Machado to the Chicago Cubs. That is absolutely terrifying. Both are just completely scary. There's no other way to say it. Let's start with Machado because it's a guy who we've talked about on the podcast a little bit. Machado is leading the league in home runs. He hit one last night off David Price in the ninth inning as the Orioles lost yet again. And Machado was just, I mean, he's been an awesome player. He's making an MVP run even on one of the worst teams in baseball. I do think the MVP is probably going to be Mike Trout, just given the year he's on and less of an injury. But Machado obviously is prime real estate to get traded. I feel like the Orioles shouldn't even wait. I think you should just deal him, get it over with, rip the Band-Aid. He's an expiring contract. He said before that he'd like to play for the New York Yankees. There were some rumors of him going to the Chicago White Sox last winter, and I don't know if that was a move to just not get traded to the White Sox, because the White Sox are kind of like the Braves last year, where they have some pieces, but they're not there yet. And I actually, if you remember, SnowTapWI, on the baseball prediction show on the Daily Tap, I said the Braves and the White Sox are going to be the two surprises of the Major League Baseball, and I was one of two. I'll take one of two. So Machado, I don't know if that said his idea, his sort of I want to play for the Yankees thing was to prevent him from going to a team like the White Sox where they're just not there yet. And maybe if he signs with the Cubs or the Dodgers really don't have a need for him with Justin Turner and Corey Seager. They just kind of need him now. But if he goes to a team that where there is a spot for third or short, that he's going to make sense. I mean, the Red Sox make sense. They have Xander Bogaerts. I mean, the Red Sox don't really make sense because do you want to trade Xander Bogaerts for Manny Machado? I guess. But let's stay focused on the Cubs. And the Cubs are a team that Heyman mentioned. Obviously, they have prospects. Obviously, Addison Russell is a decent player, but he's no Manny Machado. And you look at that infield, it would be Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, Manny Machado, and Chris Bryant. That makes me want to drink bleach. That makes me legitimately want to drink bleach. Like, that is such a scary infield, and it would be just a murderer's row of hitters. And so, I don't know. I don't know what it would take. I don't know if it would take Kyle Schwarber to get moved. Obviously, Addison Russell would probably be moved in the trade as well. Of what the Orioles' asking price is going to be. I would expect the Cardinals to be in on Machado as well. Definitely would add to their defense. They could use shortstop help. They could also use third base help if Machado goes over there. Speaking of which, they've been brought up in a Josh Donaldson deal. Heyman basically suggesting that even though the Blue Jays are above 500, they're really not going anywhere given that they're in a division with the Yankees and Red Sox. Best they could probably do is the second wild card, but that's even asking for a lot. So a guy like Donaldson could be a possibility for the Cardinals. Also terrifying, former MVP, very good arm at third, amazing hitter against left-handers, would have a very good lefty-friendly lineup with guys like Tommy Pham, Jose Martinez, Marcell Ozuna, and Donaldson all crush left-handers. So that would give them an advantage. And then they obviously do well against righties as well. Donaldson, very much a clutch hitter, would add an element to the Cardinals. I think he's not necessarily a Cardinals way type guy. He's definitely has a fiery attitude, has an attitude that maybe Cardinals fans would rub the wrong way. But still, that would be a terrifying thought either way. So my question, I guess, here is if you're the Brewers, do you at least put your name out there with these two guys? Not that you really need Donaldson. Like, you have a good third baseman, Travis Shaw. I don't think you'd want to move him to first base. I get it, but you don't really need Donaldson. And Machado, yes, he'd be good, but you'd be trading away Orlando Arcia, Mauricio Dubon, Torres ACL, and do you really have a backup plan when Machado likely leaves? Because there's really no way he's probably staying in Milwaukee. I think you do. I think you at least put your name involved. I think it will obviously incite the local fan base, and the radio hosts will talk about it. But I think you do it just to sort of get everybody all sorts of fired up that it could possibly happen. And it doesn't. And then it makes the Cubs or the Cardinals make a ridiculous trade offer where they trade multiple prospects for rentals, because both Donaldson are both rentals. They're both rentals, and they are free agents at the end of this season. All right, put a little bow on the podcast. So the Brewers and Twins get going this weekend. We are going to have young Freddy Peralta on the mound on Saturday. Brett Suter is going tonight for the Brewers in what should be a good game. Kyle Gibson has been pitching really well for the Twins. Should be an interesting matchup. Saturday, talk about a great night with Peralta versus Fernando Romano. He is a top-notch pitcher in the Twins organization. That is must-see TV with Peralta and Romano going at it. It's going to be an absolutely awesome night at the ballpark if you happen to be in the Minneapolis area. And you're a Twins fan, you're a Brewers fan, I would recommend going Saturday night. That is a game to be at for sure. So I kind of was thinking about this like yesterday and was just sort of thinking how Minneapolis-Milwaukee is just not a rivalry in any sport but football. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of Packer fans down here, and Packer-Viking rivalry is serious. I'd argue it's maybe at the peak of it with the Kirk Cousins signing, with the whole, are the Vikings taking over the Packers, you know, stranglehold on the NFC North? Spoiler alert, they're not. But that's sort of, it's sort of at its apex. So then you look at baseball and basketball, and it's like, well, they play in the other division, so they don't see each other very often, and really a rivalry can't stem from it. Bucks-T-Wolves would be a rivalry if they are in the same division. I guarantee that. Both are young teams. Both have interesting characters with Jimmy Butler, Giannis, Karl-Anthony Towns, Chris Middleton. I think it would be an actual rivalry. I think that would be, it's an untapped thing. I mean, if the Timberwolves are in the East or the Bucks are in the West, that is a great rivalry that we're talking about for years to come, just given the roster makeup. Brewers Twins, maybe, but I don't know if it would have the same juice as Brewers Cubs, Brewers Cardinals. I think the Brewers are so far removed from the American League. I still remember the Brewers in the American League, but all of those rivalries have sort of ceased to exist. Just given how the Brewers and Cubs rivalry has been through the last few years, Brewers and Cardinals obviously had the rivalry in the early part of the 2010s. What do you call it? The aught-tens? Is that what it was called? The aught-tens? That sounds weird. But anyways, yes, the Brewers and Cardinals in 2011 with all of the drama that went on there. So I just think they're so far removed from the American League that you really don't have those rivalries. And the Brewers and Twins never really were rivalries. We're rivals. I mean, you can fact check me if you want, the older tappers who watched a lot of AL baseball. But if I remember correctly from what I've talked to my dad about, from my personal memory, it was the Chicago White Sox were a legit rivalry. They hated the White Sox. They just did not like each other. It was a longtime rivalry between the two teams. And then as the Brewers were leaving the American League, they had a rivalry with the Cleveland Indians, predicated on Albert Bell laying out Fernando Vina at second base, which is one of those, if it were in social media, it would have been like a 20-game suspension for Albert Bell. Albert Bell in the social media era would have been incredible because that guy was a complete asshole and just, oh man, he got arrested like a few weeks ago. I think he was like jacking off in public, which is just a wild move. Like, who jacks off in public? Like, that's just, man, that's crazy. It's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know why you'd think that would be okay to stroke your dick just randomly. Was that Kellen Winslow who stroked his dick at a Boston market? Shout out to Kellen Winslow. Always worth getting us headlines. But we got to roll. I have to get to the gym because I am a fat ass. All right, guys. SnowtapWI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Do that. Have a good Friday. We will be back Saturday. Probably talk a little Brewers. Get you guys ready for the Preakness as well as the basketball that will be happening on Saturday night and Sunday night. So look to talk then. We will see you later. All right. Peace out.